Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Welcome to NBA Today with Malika Andrews, live from Los Angeles.
Coming up on NBA Today, the rematch of last season's Western Conference Finals. It did not disappoint. How the top two scorers went down to the wire. We break it all down for you. Plus, speaking of Luka and Steph, we run through the early season MVP odds. Who deserves more love? I know Big Perk has a take on this one. And the Celtics, they are rolling heading into tonight's matchup against the Heat. How their historic offensive start may be the reason they return to the finals. NBA Today starts right now. Welcome to NBA Today. I'm Malika Andrews alongside Richard Jefferson, Ramona Shelburne, back in the building from a little tour with the Nets, and one Miss Chinee Agumake. Hey. There were three games across the association last night. They were all, well, two of them were very good, and we just will talk about the Pistons and the Knicks another time. Let's get to Luka Doncic and Steph Curry, the battle in Dallas. We're going to pick this one up, though, in the fourth quarter when the Warriors were up by four. Watch this inbound pass here, Richard. Luka, he steals it.
That's just, you can't have that. Well, I understand that Luka does a lot of things. Defense isn't this, but if you give this man extra opportunities, he will make you pay.
You give him room and he will take it. Let's go ahead here to 4 minutes, 10 seconds left to play. Mavs down by one. Luka, once again, finds the open man in the corner. Josh Green for the corner three. Mavs take the lead.
One of the most disgusting passes I've ever seen. Great screen there by Kleba. And it was just, again, Josh Green has been outstanding, but what he is doing right now is on a whole nother level. Luka, again, with steals. We've shown two Luka steals in the highlight, and he steps up and knocks down the three. Yes, go ahead. Go ahead. Yeah, I'm him. That's what he's saying right now.
Watch Steph here. Finds an open Andrew Wiggins. Once again, Steph Curry. You give him an inch, he takes a mile, Richard.
Go ahead.
It's amazing that that was a better shot than what Wiggins could have taken there.
Yes, it was.
He's falling out of bounds three.
And then you have Tim Hardaway Jr. splashing in the three. The Mavs, they take a one-point lead, and Tim Hardaway is going to let you know about that one. Once again, Luka Doncic putting this team on his back time and time again, Richard.
It's just so impressive watching him grow, the conditioning that he was in. But here, look, the Warriors, they do not give you a break. They do not let up.
Watch Steph Curry here, though. He goes for the shot, but look, he was called for a travel on this play. Let's take a listen to what Steph Curry had to say about this.
Bang, bang situation. Dumb play by me to not take the layup. I got a little confused on what the time and score was, honestly. Went for the hero shot. I didn't think it was a travel to the point where you don't let the play run out, but who am I to say?
Well, we're going to talk about that a little bit more in the show.
There are some petty.
The Warriors would get one more chance there here, though. Find Klay Thompson. Goes up for the three. Just can't quite get it to go. The Mavs, they go on to win this one. One more look at that Klay. It's the look you want.
Yep.
He just couldn't quite get it to
Love
fall.
It.
Let's take a listen as we watch Klay one more time to Jason Kidd after the game.
Yeah, it's getting boring. I mean, what else? Let's see something different. Do something, maybe do it with his left hand. I'm just joking. Look, he's one of the best in the world, and that's what he does. You know, I've said this earlier, some of us in this room can take him for granted. The man is special. The guy loves competition. And when you have a triple-double like that, it's not easy because he's marked once he pulls up in his car. They're going to have a double team or they're not going to let him play. And his growth of getting off the ball and trusting his teammates is at a very high level. I know the points, everybody talks about that, but just playing 4-on-3, sometimes that can be frustrating. But he's showing maturity and trust in his teammates that they're going to make the right play.
Look, there's a whole lot of ways that I think we can describe this performance from Luka Doncic. I'm not sure that boring is one of them. I'm with Jamie Kidd on that one. What did you see from yet another 40-point triple-double from Luka Doncic?
It's wild. I wish Perk was here. Lemon pepper barbecue, whatever sauce you put on. Okay. All right. It's
put ranch on your wings.
Look, Luka is a one-man offensive machine. And if you don't believe me, look at these numbers. He's averaging almost 55 points created per game this season, which is literally half of the Dallas Mavericks offense. AKA, he's pretty much like 2.5 players out there with his scoring and his assists. Richard, will you help show me?
I would love to because I was loving those highlights. Let's go, sis.
Okay, let's talk about this play right here because let's start with how it's established, right? This is a switch because Kevon Looney is guarding Luka. What does that mean? That means the help defense has to be aware to help the big man outside of three. Who are the help defenders? It's Klay, it's Wiggs, and it's Steph. But you never help off of ball side, right, Richard? So we're going to eliminate Steph from this. So as this play gets going and Luka makes his move, the help defense is really activated. And I'm talking about, you can see Wiggs. He cleared, he vacated the paint so that he can make a rush at Luka. But Luka, as he makes his move, look at the vision he has, being able to see, hey, here's the help defense, right? There it is, those two guys. But then Josh Green even slides down to make this pass harder, but he still has the vision, as you see the, you know, it curl around there, to be able to make this perfect dime of a pass. He had 12 assists on the night, and that one was probably the best one.
That was definitely the best one. And on top of it, Green had another swing pass to Tim Hardaway Jr. And look, you understand, Green was not shooting it, and you don't. And Draymond Green is put in a tough spot because he has to choose between two defenders. But Luka, an underhand, now I played with Jason Kidd, an underhand scoop pass to a person in the corner, I haven't seen many passes like that from anybody in history.
But Richard, let's talk about the scoring, because this man does happen to also lead the NBA in scoring at 33.5 points per game. And on this possession, again, we were talking about the help defense. You'll see here, Steph is actually engaged. He's like, yo, I want to win this game. So you see him right here. He's in the paint. He's like, I'm going to show help early. And so he shows help. But, you know, when you pass the ball so much, he beats Wiggins. This is where Steph is like, I'm taking it. But he's got body. This is like 6'9". Wiggins, if you see right here, instead of like using the blind side to really double him on the turn, instead he stays with this man because he's been killing you with the assists. And what is that amount in? Cash money.
Cash, easy one. And Steph there, if he should have either properly taken the charge or tried to stay on his feet, he was caught off guard because you could see it wasn't a stumble. That wasn't a charge attempt by him. But if he stays on his feet, then you're possibly in a double situation. So he was just breaking them down.
Yeah, you have to pick your poison when it comes to Luka Doncic. Either you help on him,
right,
and then he's able to create a pass, or you don't, and then he's able to turn around and hit a bucket.
It's sort of a lose-lose situation, but that begs sort of the thought of who's the MVP then? And according to Caesar Sportsbook, you can see the entire list there. You have Luka Doncic leading the way, followed by Giannis Antetokounmpo, Jason Tatum, and then a pretty sizable gap before you get to Steph Curry and Joel Embiid. But of course, respectfully to the odds makers, this isn't necessarily the list that I want to talk about today. Can I show you guys what I want to talk about?
Yeah.
Because Kendrick Perkins, he has his own leaderboard. The guy who's averaging 33-9-8, he's not even on it. According to Big Perk, the MVP race is Jason Tatum 1, Giannis Antetokounmpo 3, 2, Devin Booker at 3, Ja Morant at 4, Tyrese Halliburton at 5. A little bit of surprise there, but the Pacers are 4th in the East right now. So this means we need to bring in Big Perk. Tweeted this out before two guys from last night went head-to-head. They're missing on your list. No Steph, no Luka. How we feeling today, Big Perk?
Oh, I'm standing on my list. That's how I'm feeling. I'm feeling great. My list is flawless. Anybody that disagree with me, they're the one with the problem. See, here's the thing. We move the goalposts so much when it comes down to this MVP race and things to that nature. Now, is it going to stay this way? Probably not. Guys are going to continue to play better. But when it comes down to Jason Tatum, right now he's the clear front runner for the MVP. And we can't say enough with Giannis where he got the Milwaukee Bucks at right now. No Chris Middleton. We talk about Devin Booker. No CP3, no Cam Johnson, no Jay Crowder, no problem. And then do I have to tell y'all about Ja Morant, like for real, one of the most electrified players? Here's my wild card. He is Halliburton. Nobody in their right mind would have thought that the Indiana Pacers will be sitting at the number 4 spot at the Eastern Conference right now, and it's all because of Halliburton in this play, averaging almost 20 points, 11 dimes on 48% shooting. Now, if anybody have a problem with this list, Shame on them.
Okay, don't shame on me. Don't shame on me, Perk, because you know I love you. But I just have a follow-up question. So Luka Doncic Luka Doncic is not in your top five. Is that because the Mavs are struggling relative to the other guys on the, you know, in Fair the standings point. In their conference?
Yes, yes. Because not only do you have to have great individual numbers, but your team has to be winning. Your team can't be sitting at the number 9th or 10th spot at a 500 record and you expect for him to be in the MVP conversation. It's just not how it works. Now, look, Luka has been doing his thing individually, but last time I checked, your team has to have success and be up in the top tier as well.
Well, all right, Rich. Okay, listen, the beautiful thing about America is this. You are entitled to your opinion, even if you are wrong. Even if you are grossly wrong. Let me break it down. The difference between 12 and 8 and 10 and 10 is what, ladies and gentlemen? Two wins. But the numbers that Luka is putting up is historic, right? His numbers that he's putting up is historic. And then another thing. They added Christian Wood. They did. They added Christian Wood, but who else did they lose? They lost a pretty good backcourt mate. They lost a pretty good backcourt mate that's playing outstanding in New York. So his team currently right now has had a talent dropped off. So his numbers has improved. His numbers have gone up. So when I see that, I look at it and say, look, Luka, to me,
right.
The way he is playing is either 1, 2, or 3 based off of where you see it. To have him not even on the top 5 of a list, that just sounds personal, Perk.
So I'm with you on this one, Rich. I think that Luka belongs personal in this conversation. But here's the question for you, Rich, because there's a rule. Who you drop off to put one in?
Now, Halliburton is having an all-star quality season. I believe he is an all-star player this year. If the all-star game was to be right now, he is doing things that sure. I don't even think if the Sacramento Kings, who are having an outstanding season and the trade looked like it was a great trade for both, even them, they're probably like, oh God, this kid looks pretty good. Right? Maybe we should have traded De'Aaron Fox, man. You know what I'm saying? Like instead, I'm just saying.
Wait, but
so that means you're dropping
I'm dropping
off?
Halliburton. I'm dropping right. Halliburton off.
Okay.
And I'm adding Luka onto the list.
Okay, Ramona?
So we can quibble with the rest of his list, but I do think he has the front runner correct. I think Jason
best player,
Tatum,
best team.
Yeah, best player, best team. And Jason Tatum is having it's hard to say, a breakthrough year because he's broken through so many times before, but this is where he elevates from being an all-NBA player to an MVP caliber player. And what he's done offensively this year and defensively on both sides of the ball, he has done so much work on his game. I think you have to look at Jason Tatum as the front runner, especially with how the Celtics are playing.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, you have to celebrate the Celtics overall because they were dealt a situation, but look at how professional they have been when it comes to basketball and those guys producing and being the best team out there. And so I'd feel comfortable with Luka. I mean, I'd probably go Tatum 1. Mm-hmm. Then I'd go Luka or Giannis at 2A, 2B.
Okay.
And then after that, you know, Halliburton does not make my list. I like Morant. I like Booker. But I think it is like an egregious error to not have Luka on there.
And the odds makers have Booker at 10.
Okay, let's just, listen, close your mouth there, big fella. Hold on. This is the last thing. Right now, the numbers are Celtics are 17-4. The Bucks are 14-5, right? So one less loss. Has Middleton played it all this year? Because Jalen Brown has been playing all year.
He's supposed to play,
I'm just saying, Jalen Brown has been playing all year. Marcus Smart has been playing. They added Malcolm Brogdon. Giannis looked around and said, oh, man, I don't have my second best player and a four-time NBA All-Star. Let me just up my stuff. So to say that best player, best team, but I don't know if he's having an outstanding year. He was first-team All-NBA. He's going to be first-team All-NBA if he continues down this route.
So, Richard, who's one for you?
Giannis is number one.
Okay. All right. Perk, last word on this because we could go on it all day.
Well, here's my question to y'all. So the record don't matter? It's two questions I have to ask.
One,
does the record of your team matters? And it's gonna be an MVP update. In another 2 months, I'm going to give another update on the MVP
list. But as of coming into the season.
What I'm saying is, right now, take Halliburton off the Pacers, and they would not be number four in the Eastern Conference, by the way, which is the better conference out of the two.
But if you take Luka off the map.
Exactly. But if you take Luka off the map. But, hey, in Perk's words, his list is flawless.
So there you go.
And it's fluid. It's fluid.
It's fluid and flawless. There you go. Still to come on NBA Today. This is why we're talking about the MVP. We're a quarter of the way through the season. It's only right that we double down and put some wagers on awards. So MVP, Sixth Man of the Year, title odds. Richard, do you want to lead that?
Oh, 100% I would.
All right. And remember when Giannis did this in Madison Square Garden? He returns to the world's most famous arena tonight, so we preview that game. Plus, the Clippers, they are no strangers to big comebacks. What they did last night just adds to that impressive list. We will be right back.
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
It's V-Week on ESPN as we continue Jim Valvano's fight against cancer.
Another fabulous game last night. Let's just call the Clippers the comeback kids. Let's head to Portland now. The Blazers hosting the Clippers. Still no Damian Lillard in this one. Master Holly, I see you back there. But they did have one. Mr. Anthony Simons hits a three here. Absolutely no problem. Once again, finding Simons, you're guessed it. Again, hits the three. You may be sensing a little bit of a pattern here.
Yeah, he was cooking. Who's guarding this man? Who is guarding him?
Anthony Simons again and again and again. 9 threes. The Blazers led by as many as 18 in the third, in large part thanks to him.
Just watching the growth of him has been so impressive, and the support that the Blazers and Lillard have been giving him during this period has been equally as impressive.
But guess what? The Clippers, they would come back. Fourth quarter, the Clippers down 9 here. Norm Powell drives, lays it in. And then once again, 5 minutes to play. Clippers down 4. Powell, one more time, drives in for another layup, gets it to go. 2:40 left to play. The Clippers down by 2. Reggie Jackson finds Nick Batum, splashes in the 3. The Clippers take the lead. And then 1:30 to play. Clippers still up by 1. Powell drives, lays it in. Powell had 32 points off the bench. The Clippers would come back to win 118-112. So let's run through some of the best Clippers comebacks under Ty Lue. First, they advanced to their first conference finals in team history by coming back from 25 down against the Jazz. That was in Game 6 in 2021.
Terrence
the largest comeback, absolutely, in a series clinching win over the last 25 seasons. And then on January 11th, last season, the Clippers, they scored just 28 points in the first half, trailed by 25 in the game before coming back to beat the Nuggets. Reggie Jackson scored 11 points in the fourth quarter to complete the comeback, and Steve Ballmer loves it. And then, two weeks later,
this one was crazy.
Luke Kennard, he finished off the Clippers' 35-point comeback with a game-winning 4-point play in the final seconds. It was tied for the largest comeback in the last 25 seasons and was just the second 30-point halftime deficit overcome in league history. I don't even need to talk about it. You can see the numbers right there, how this stacks up. This was the Clippers' 28th win over the last 5 seasons, in which they trailed by at least 15 points, tied for the most in any NBA in this time, and by any team in this time. So, Perk, I'm curious. The Clippers, it feels like they're never truly out of a game. We talked a lot about the depth of this team, but with all of the pieces, someone has to run the show. What are your thoughts on why Ty Lue is able to be so effective here?
Because that's who he is. He's one of the best, if not the best, coaches in the league. And you know the great thing about Ty Lue is that he still has a chip on his shoulder. You know why he has a chip on his shoulder? Because when he did coach in Cleveland and he won the championship with LeBron, a lot of people, all the people were saying was, oh, you had LeBron. Ty Lue wants to win the championship without LeBron to show how great he actually is. When it comes to in-game adjustments, he's one of the best in the business. You have a lot of coaches that have their pre-game plan already planned out and stick to it throughout the course of the game. Not Ty Lue. He mixes it up and goes on the feel of the game. Think about this. A couple of nights ago, I witnessed Zubac struggle against the Denver Nuggets. The follow-up game after that, he went out there and had 31 points and 29 rebounds. That's bringing out the best in your players. That has something to do with coaching, along with Reggie Jackson. When Reggie Jackson came from Detroit, we thought his career was done. He has been on interviews saying how the Clippers have changed his career, changed his life. You don't think that has something to do with Ty Lue? We all know that Kawhi Leonard and Paul George wanted Doc Rivers out of there. Why? Who they wanted? Ty Lue. Ty Lue is the reason. And he's going to continue to have this team competing hard every night. He's going to continue to have them pulling out games every night, even if Kawhi Leonard and Paul George is not available. But if that don't mean he's going to win the championship. It's just time to recognize his greatness.
It's pretty clear. Ty Lue is that dude. All right, let's keep it pushing to the Eastern Conference. The Heat and the Celtics, they play tonight in Boston. It'll be their second matchup of the season. The Celtics won 111-104 on October 21st. Boston has won 9 of their last 10 games. They have the best offensive efficiency in the last 25 years. And for more on the Celtics' hot start, our friend Zach Lowe dives in on his podcast, The Low Post.
We're at the quarter mark of the NBA season. The biggest story in the NBA, and I don't think it's close, is that the Boston Celtics, through 21 games, are on pace to shatter, destroy, obliterate every offensive scoring record, efficiency record that has ever been put up, ever in the history of the sport. Tatum set a little flare screen for, I can't remember who got a three out of it. That's like a selfless play by Jason Tatum. It's the same sort of impulse of, I'm the best guy. If I set a screen, it's causing all sorts of problems. Here's what happens against the Kings the other day. Marcus Smart, Jason Tatum, pick and roll. Tatum's the screener. They trap it. Smart slips a bounce pass to Tatum, who cuts to the rim as the screener. Defense rotates up to him. Drop off to Horford, dunk. Every possession is this like calculated speed. It's really, really impressive. Tatum's at 31 a game, 8 rebounds, 4.5 assists, 48% shooting. I think at worst he's third in MVP right now. I mean, what he's doing, if he's a Celtic for life for most of his career, he has a chance to be historically one of the two historic giants in the league. As great as any player who's ever worn that uniform, including Bird. And Tatum is Tatum. I mean, they are a machine. Look, here's the bottom line. I picked the Bucks to win the title this year. That was my preseason pick. I stick by the preseason pick. That's what it is. I still think they can win the title. There's just no argument that a quarter of the way through the season, the Celtics are the championship favorites.
So take a look at the Celtics' upcoming schedule here. You can see it there on your screens. But a big reason for their 17-4 best record in the NBA here has been Jason Tatum. We talked about him in the A block of the show, but what's been the biggest change, advancement in his game?
Well, look, Malik, he put an emphasis on getting to the rim in the offseason. He and his longtime trainer, Drew Hanlon, worked out where Drew just fouled him. He was rough on him because when they studied tape of him in the finals, This is what hurt him. He just didn't finish at the rim as well as he could. Now, this is just prepare yourself for this. Jason Tatum is finishing at the rim better than Giannis this year. 76% in the restricted area.
Wow.
Giannis is 74%.
That's big.
That's third in the league. Two players ahead of him, Nick Claxton, Anthony Davis, two centers.
Wow. Rich?
I think exactly what we talked about during the finals. One, it was their turnovers, and two, some of his struggles were his inability to finish. It was like going off of two, not trying to, like, not avoiding the contact, finishing strong. And the compliment that you can give to him or any player is you spot a weakness, because defenses, offenses are going to spot weaknesses. You spot a weakness and you go into it in the offseason and you put in ridiculous amounts of work, and they had a short offseason because they were in the NBA finals. You take a short offseason, you work, and you come back, and now you are above Giannis at finishing at the rim.
Man.
I got nothing but positive things to say about Jason Tatum.
Say what you were saying in the production meet. Say what you were saying in the production.
What did I say in the production meet?
That's what
meeting?
You say. Don't come up here and switch
okay,
it up. Say what you were saying in the production meet.
What did I say in the production meet?
I still got the Bucks as the favorite.
I still do. This is a conversation about Jason Tatum. This is not a conversation about the Celtics. I'm just saying, say what you were saying in the production meet. Say what you were saying behind closed doors. The best team and the team to come out Yo. Currently right now. They took a team to seven games without their second best player. They are at second in the East without their second best player. I still stand by this. My conversation right now was a compliment to Jason Tatum.
They got better. They added Malcolm Brogdon. The Celtics got better.
Okay, they did. But this conversation about Jason Tatum, that's not going to change. That, like, honestly, everybody can learn from what Jason Tatum did in a shortened offseason and improved an area of weakness that he spotted, everyone spotted, and it was talked about all NBA Finals.
Perk, what do you think of those numbers that we just saw between Giannis and Jason Tatum?
Well, that's why he's number one on my MVP list. Do I have to say more? He's number one on there. Look, but you know what? Shout out to Coach Mazzulla, because let me say this. He has done a great job of actually challenging Jason Tatum. I'm watching him setting more screens. I'm watching him roll to the basket. I'm watching him setting pin downs and slipping and getting to the basket off a backdoor cut. He's not pounding the air out of the basketball. And he's also getting to the free throw line a lot. So now he's actually using all those wide shoulders and that muscle that he put on 2 years ago and being more physical. So, I mean, it is what it is. That's why he's number one on my MVP list.
And that's fair. That's fair. I was more concerned with the end of your list, not the top of your list. I have no problem with Jason Tatum being in the top three.
Then why you talked about Giannis? Why you saying Giannis needed to be number
one? That's what
you
said. If you let me talk about Giannis, this is what I'm going to say about Giannis.
You said that at the top of the show. You said that at the top of the show. I'm saying.
This is what I'm going to say about Giannis. This is what I'm going to say about Giannis right now. Yes, he might be shooting 2%, 2% lower, but you know he's still missing his best ball handler. His second best like scorer on his team. He's missing so much. And Giannis, even with all of that attention pushed on him, Giannis is still he is still doing what he is doing. So that is my compliment to him. The fact that Giannis has still been this productive without his second best player, because right now Jaylen Brown's been playing, Marcus Smart's been playing, Malcolm Brogdon's been there, so their team has been healthy, and Jason Tatum has gone to another level. It's just hard to believe considering he was first team All NBA last year. So let's not
isn't it even harder when you have all your guys and you still elevate your game and your numbers still go through the roof?
The last two MVPs were given out to a player that was playing outstanding without his team there. Without Jamal Murray, without Michael Porter Jr. That's fine. I didn't say you. I said the last two MVPs were given out to somebody that played so outstanding and was shorthanded. That looks a lot more like Giannis than it does Jason Tatum at this current moment.
Well, how about this? How about we go ahead and check in on somebody else?
Oh, yes, please.
Who is on Perk's MVP list, though? We're still sticking with the list.
I just want to Perk's face during that entire segment.
I don't.
I just wanted one Richard shut up. But, you know, I didn't. Can I get it for one Perk?
He doesn't know what you're talking
about.
All right, still ahead on NBA Today. Light the beam. Say it with me. It's all I want to do.
Light the beam.
Thank you. Tyrese Halliburton returns to Sacramento for the first time tonight, so we get the table set for you on that showdown. But that's not the only juicy matchup we have. Ja versus Ant Edwards, Paolo versus DeJounte. Whoa. Giannis returns to MSG, and we debut a new segment. It's called Hooper Bloopers, the best bloopers of the season thus far. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
All I'm saying is De'Aaron Fox might have been the move to trade.
De'Aaron Fox has been outstanding.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jets' signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jets Pizza. Better because it has to be.
The Pacers and the Kings, they made a trade, Sacramento trading Tyrese Halliburton.
The league is stunned at this trade.
It hurt when I got traded.
It definitely caught me by surprise. I thought it was a joke.
They didn't want me. I definitely gonna add fuel to the fire.
Welcome to Indiana.
Yeah, thank you. I'm going to put everything I got into this.
Ain't no problem.
Are you ready?
Halliburton throws it down.
Oh, Kyrie, have a night.
I had an immature view on things when I got traded. Looking back on it, one of the best things that could happen for my career.
So for the first time since DeMarcus Cousins, we have an anticipated return for a former king in Sacramento. Tyrese Halliburton is back for the first time since being dealt to Indiana last February. The Pacers and Kings are both above 500 entering the game in what should be just a great atmosphere in Golden 1 Center. And here's just a look back at the trade from last year's trade deadline. The Kings received Halliburton and Hield, Domantas Sabonis to highlight the six-player trade. So I want to bring back in the entire panel here because it's been about 9 months since this trade. Richard, is there a clear winner at this point?
Yeah, I think it's a... From a team standpoint, I think that the Kings did what they needed to go up another notch. I will say that. Looking back on this, though, the best guard in that backcourt between De'Aaron Fox and Tyrese Halliburton, in my opinion, is looking like Tyrese Halliburton. Now, I'm not saying that they should have traded him, but ultimately, Tyrese Halliburton, what he is doing. Let's take the fact that he's leading the league in assists. I think he's one of the three or four best passers in the NBA. He can pass with left hand. He can pass with right. He can pass on a dime. He can drop off a pass, lob, everything that you need, and it's showing up in the numbers. I think he's going to be an outstanding point guard for the next decade.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that, like, one person is winning over
the other. Of course you wouldn't. Of course you
wouldn't. That's just not what I do.
Yeah.
But what I will say is that it seems like both guys are fitting and providing that energy that both teams need in this moment. Because De'Aaron Fox and what they've been able to build with Sabonis and Light the Beam is special. But Halliburton, those numbers that you're talking about, he leads the league in assists by a margin. He averages about 11.3. The next guy, I believe, is Trey at 9. He's fourth in points overall created, you know, behind Luka, behind Trey, and behind Steph. So all those great aspects of the game, it works well for the environment that he's in, the same way it works well for De'Aaron Fox.
Thanks.
Like, it's okay to have a draw or, like, an incomplete. Like,
but every time, though.
I don't do it every time. I actually make takes these days, but this is just one time I'm hedging.
Park? Park.
There's my laugh, Malika. That you're
like, I love your laugh.
I'm in disbelief right now, and I'm going back to my list again. For Richard to have the praise that he just did for Tyrese Halliburton and talk about how he's one of the best two or three passers in the game today. He leads the league in assists by a large margin. I mean, he's just carrying the Pacers right now. He looked like he's a clear better player, or the Pacers won in that trade, right? He picked them over there. What the hell is going on today, Richard? Like, did you come back on the show after missing a week just to argue? I'm just asking.
I can compliment him in this space without saying that he is an MVP candidate above Luka Doncic. There's just a very big difference. I'm not here to argue with you and your background, and it looks like you're blending into it. You got to step to the side or something. But my
leave
point
is, my man alone. Leave my man alone.
I can't see it. Are you okay?
Like the Wizard of Oz. No.
He's blending into his background.
Look at him. He looks like it's a floating head.
That's what he looks like. No, because he's making it seem like I'm arguing with him. I'm not.
I can compliment
Tyrese and say
him like with 18 different points.
He's giving 18 different points that were all valid.
True. Mark, they were valid.
Like, nobody thought that Tyrese Halliburton was available last year, which is why it was so shocking that they traded him, okay? And De'Aaron Fox is having a much better season this year. There's a lot of teams. The reason why this is such a shocking trade is people thought Tyrese Halliburton was this good last year.
Yes.
They didn't think he would be available. The fact that they were willing to discuss him was shocking because a lot more teams would have called and made maybe better offers. But Sabonis has been very good for the Kings. He's got a great two-man game with De'Aaron Fox. I think he's really elevated Fox. And let's remember last year, De'Aaron Fox wasn't playing as well, and he had already signed a big contract, so it was much harder to move a player like that than Tyrese Halliburton, who obviously had a lot of value.
Right. I don't have a problem with Chiney taking both in this because the addition of Sabonis has elevated De'Aaron Fox's game to a different place, and then you see what Tyrese Halliburton is doing for the Indiana Pacers. But Tyrese is not the only one who is back. The WNBA is back. The season is right around the corner. The schedule is out, Chiney. Here's some key dates in the WNBA.
Okay, so I'm looking at an Aces at Storm playoff rematch. That's going to be good with a capital T. Each team will play a record of 40 games, which makes sense because last year was a condensed schedule.
Okay.
Okay. Where we played 36 games in a short amount of time. Your girl still feels it from last season. But actually, I feel great. I'm doing hot yoga. It was World Cup, right? The World Championships. Mm. I said World Cup because of FIFA and the season we're in. It's World Championships, and so we had to play a fewer games. So now 40, it makes sense. Finals opponents, Aces and Sun, will meet 3 times. Great. And then All-Star game will be held on July 15th, which is fun.
Let's all pull up.
Okay.
Let's pull
up. But like most, well, I'm still a quote-unquote free agent, but you know.
You're our free agent.
We hype.
Everybody on this part.
Well, I know, right?
Everyone's a free agent. Coming up on NBA Today. Let's put some money down. Let's make some money moves. What are the best bets a quarter of the way through the season? More NBA Today coming up after
this. Hey, don't bet where Perk. You're going to lose your money.
You're undefeated, Richard.
You're going to lose your money.
Don't give up. Don't ever give up. And that's what I'm going to try to do. Every minute that I have left, I will thank God for the day and the moment I have.
It's V Week at ESPN when we partner with the V Foundation to highlight the urgent need for cancer research. This is game-changing research that helps save lives. And you can join the fight against cancer by visiting v.org/donate. 100% of your donation.
They need more from Luka than they've ever needed.
Do I dare ask how sustainable it is?
The bump in the fadeaway touches. 41 points for Luka Doncic.
Here's a look at the top five MVP odds according to Caesar Sportsbook and how that looks next to Kendrick Perkins' list. Here's how that debate went earlier in the show. Perk tweeted this out before two guys from last night went head-to-head. They're missing on your list. No Steph, no Luka. How we feeling today, Big Perk?
Oh, I'm standing on my list. That's how I'm feeling. I'm feeling great. My list is flawless. Anybody that disagree with me, they're the one with the problem.
Okay, listen, the beautiful thing about America is this. You are entitled to your opinion, even if you are wrong. Even if you are just, grossly wrong. Look, Luka, to me,
right,
the way he is playing is either 1, 2, or 3 based off of where you see it. To have him not even on the top five of the list, that just sounds personal, Perk.
Right now, take Halliburton off the Pacers, and they would not be number 4 in the Eastern Conference.
In Perk's words, his list is flawless. So there you go.
Oh, well, that was a lot of fun earlier in the show. And as you can imagine, the debate has not stopped. So what we have done is decided to bring in a bit of a referee, our guy from Daily Wager, Tyler Fulgham. Look, I understand that Perk is doing a lot of this, and I can't stand with him anymore. So I want to know from you, Tyler, who do you have?
I didn't ask you to stand
with
me from the jump.
Perk, we brought in a referee. Tyler, who do you have when it comes to the MVP race?
Well, I just want to say I love you both, and I appreciate that Perk in America is exercising his right to an opinion. There is a name on there that I think is not getting enough love, and it's Devin Booker. However, RJ, I agree with you. I think Luka Doncic, who was the preseason favorite, has done nothing to lose that this season. He just put, and I'm full from Thanksgiving dinner, but Perk, we just saw Luka feed the people a 41-piece wing dinner, 12 biscuits, and 12 pounds of mac and cheese on the side.
Talk it, Tyler.
Against the defending champions, mind you, and I know the Pacers would not be what they are without Tyrese Halliburton. What the hell?
I'm gonna come stand over here. I'm gonna come stand over here next to my guy Tyler. I'm gonna come. Yeah, Perk Whitley. Yeah, I'm gonna come stand next to Ty because Tyler's speaking that gospel.
Yeah, so a team that's sitting at 500, yeah, Luka could be the front runner and still in the conversation for MVP. I mean, I'm not saying it's not going to change, right? We have updates. They have MVP updates. They have team ranking updates all throughout the season. But if we're talking about right now and we're talking about what we have, the criteria, what's required in order for somebody to win the MVP is, one, the player, yes, has to perform at a high level. Two, the team has to be winning. Winning, not sitting at 500, winning. Just let me know.
Oh, okay,
just
let me know. Look, there's a 2-win difference, by the way. It's 12-8 and 10-10. So it's not like we're talking about 15 wins. I know we're going to continue evolving. We are a quarter of the way in the season. Go ahead, Tyler.
Yeah, RJ, let me just steal this real quick because, I love that Perk is thinking outside the box. And having Tyrese Halliburton on there, he's like 250-1 right now to win the MVP. Halliburton deserves some credit for the season he's having. I just don't know if it belongs in the MVP race. However, if we flip it to the Sixth Man of the Year award race, maybe there is an Indiana Pacer who is a better bet if you want to wager some money on that. And I'm talking about the guy who may be a little bit partial to you, RJ, because you may have something in common with that guy sitting at plus 650. Do you think Ben Mathis, RJ, is a nice bet at that price to be Sixth Man of the Year?
100%. I don't know if I'm allowed to bet because I'm not a gambling man, but my boy Ben Mathurin, I have been in his ear. I sent him the text the other week and I was like, why? Look, I know you can score. He scored 20 points a night. He's been balling since the start of the season, but I want a double-double from my guy. I sent him that exact text and I was like, I believe that you can be great. I believe that you can be one of the best two guards in this league, but I want to see you get a double-double. I know you can score 20 points. He's going to hear this. He's going to know. He didn't respond to the text, but that's fine. We'll deal with that later. Who you got, Perk?
I think it's a good bet, RJ, and I'm concerned that he might not be coming off the bench midway through the season with Mathurin. I would say Malcolm Brogdon because the Celtics are going to be that team that is a one seed, and Brogdon is always going to be coming off the bench. Perk, where would you fall? It's Russell Westbrook right now that's the favorite. Got Mathurin with RJ. I say Brogdon because the Celtics will be a team that is a one seed. Where do you land on this, Big Perk?
Guess what? Believe it or not, I'm actually agreeing with RJ for once, and I'm going with Ben Mathurin.
Okay. Look,
he doesn't have to get a double-double. Sixth Man of the Years don't have to get double-doubles. They just have to get buckets, and that's what he's doing. In addition to what Tyrese Halliburton is doing, he has come in and he has helped the Pacers win basketball games. He's electrifying. Not only is he up for Sixth Man of the Year, but he's right there for the Rookie of the Year. And RJ, can we make it about him and not about you? I've been in his ear. I've been talking to him. I've been doing this.
I just said I sent him a text.
Always got to go back to what you've been doing. Yeah, you did. Like, let's make it about Ben and less about you. It's not always about you.
Oh, okay, thank you. I'm not going to keep throwing, but Tyler, thank you so much for joining us. You always inform us. Thank you for correcting Perk. I'm just saying that my guy Mathurin, I believe, can do more than just score buckets. But look, coming up, we celebrate the best of the worst, kind of like Perk, Cooper bloopers, all the most hilarious plays from the season so far. Keep it locked in on NBA Today. We will be right back.
Yeah, you never know what will happen when you watch the NBA in Stephen A's world. You might see something that leaves me flabbergasted. Maybe something that makes me utterly disgusted. Either way, you're gonna have a good time, I can promise you that. Don't miss NBA in Stephen A's world. Now, excuse me, I gotta get back to Wilbon. He can't stay frozen for this long, or he gets cranky.
That's right. The NBA and Stephen A's world is back for Friday's huge matchup between the Lakers and Bucks. Coverage begins at 7:30 Eastern on ESPN2 and ESPN+.
It's time for Hooper Bloopers.
What's a Hooper Blooper?
What is he doing?
Oh my goodness. Someone opened the door.
It's time for Hooper's Bloopers.
Bruh. It's time for Hooper Bloopers.
All right. You heard him. It's time for a new segment, and we're calling it Hooper's Bloopers. Richard, let's start this.
Let's go.
He's our official.
Just wait, I just want to make sure everybody knows. They're like, hey, Richard, we're doing a new segment. It's called Hooper's Bloopers. We're just going to put you in front of the screen and then go.
But it's on brand, though.
I haven't seen it.
That's what television is, Rich.
Yeah, I know, but it's just like.
Let's roll it. Let's see what's first.
Shoulders are broad.
Oh, I remember that.
Oh.
Boing.
Oh.
Ouch.
Technically, he was open, but he's not on the team. And it honestly, Personally, I wouldn't take that. Personally, I wouldn't stand
what
for that kind of disrespect.
I wish I
listen, I would have, if I was Aquaman, I'd go have a conversation. That's what I would do.
Okay.
Am I the only one? No? No.
I mean,
no, it's like
at least Steven Adams is a good sport about it. And then we have Luke Kornet.
This is different.
This is honestly. I guess it's distracting.
I guess the goal
is yes.
Oh, no.
Oh, he's with a little volleyball? Oh yes.
Oh, well,
yes.
We know you love volleyball.
Oh yeah,
right?
you can tool that block any day. You can tool it.
Next up, we go to Minnesota. The Suns with the ball. There's only four Wolves.
Oh yeah, we know this
these
look.
Guys. Or, hey, no. What, D'Angelo? What are you doing, bro?
Everybody makes mistakes.
He was just like, but everybody was still like, D'Angelo's like, oh wait, I'm in the game. What's going on? This I haven't seen this many times.
What is he doing, baby?
I don't know what you do. Even the coach is like, okay. This like, is that's not even a great film.
And into Boston, Derek White driving in. White, okay, here's the thing, is he can really throw it down, okay. Right? So
never
going back here, and then Tatum missed the shot, but, like, the problem.
Look, I get it, Plumlee
can
be scary.
Yeah, Plumlee juked him.
Plumlee can be scary. Plumlee hit him with the, hit him like he was jump roping in, like he's ready to get in, okay.
And last, but certainly not least.
Is this the worst? Oh, come on. Oh, we're going to review it, too? No!
It is World Cup season.
That is true.
Yeah,
there
but Greece
no
ain't in the World
like
Cup.
Soccer flopping.
It is World Cup.
Greece ain't in the World Cup, though.
No, you know what? I think that is a wonderful acting performance.
That was a terrible acting performance.
Could you do better?
Yeah, watch Richard. Yeah. Come on, let me slide.
Right, ready?
No, come on, Richard. Ready?
One, two, three.
Go!
I actually need to be hit. That's the thing.
All right.
Whoa.
Okay. We love Richard.
Whoa. This is not my
We're
Batman
We're very
cup.
Glad that you're back in studio with us. We missed having you here. We will see you tomorrow.
Can
NFL Live is coming up next.
Hit me. You gotta hit me.
Okay.
No, never mind. Don't. No, that was.